Let's go to our Monday expert today. He's talking coffee. Sam Lowe is a hugely respected figure in the specialty coffee industry. He works as an independent barista trainer and consultant across New Zealand and Australia. He's a former national barista champion and a two-time latte art champion. He's qualified, ladies and gentlemen, for this interview slot. Out of interest, he's also the guy who showed up in the news for turning his quarantine hotel meals into fine dining creations. Remember that story? He's with me right now in Auckland studio. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Nice to see you. How many coffees have you had today?
I've had three. Thank you for asking.
And do you try and have three each day, or does it vary depending on how you're feeling?
Usually it's how I'm feeling, but also what I'm exposed to. So if I'm at a new cafe I want to try out, then generally I have most of the things on the menu. So.
Yeah. Okay. This is my third coffee. It's very rare that I would do three, but I thought, well, you're coming in and it'll put me in the mood for chatting about it. And we got chatting off air about beans. So I have a little hand grinder. I grind my own beans, which is probably going to sound OTT to a lot of our listeners. But it was ever since a barista told me that the beans start oxidizing as soon as they're ground. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, so you're correct. So coffees, once roasted, will start releasing carbon dioxide, and that's usually when it is starting to release its natural gases. Once it's released all its carbon dioxide, it will then absorb atmospheric influences, so oxygen. So once beans start oxidizing, it will lose all its natural aromatic compounds and flavor compounds as well. So by grinding it fresh before you brew your coffee, you're essentially slowing down its rate of oxidization.
Right.
So as a whole bean, it's got less surface area to oxidize. Once you grind it up, it's got way more surface area, and that's why it will last longer.
Love it. And I said to you, my only problem is, I've got this great setup at work, but my only problem is I never get through the bag of beans. It takes me about 2 months to get through a bag of beans, and I feel like the longer that bag of beans is open, the worse my coffee is getting. So any thoughts on that? And these, by the way, this isn't just an opportunity for me to ask my own questions. this is also a listener question about, well, it's about coffee storage, so perhaps you can cover that as well.
Yeah, and I think the first question is try to buy enough beans that will last you a week. So if you are already buying the smallest bag that you can purchase, which is around 200 to 250 grams, other storage kind of methods are finding vacuum seal airtight containers. That will definitely slow down the aging process of your beans. There is an international specialty coffee trend going on at the moment, and that is freezing your coffee beans, even though that is a big no-no when we're first introduced to coffee. Freezing your beans in airtight vacuum bags or sealed containers will also prolong the shelf life of your coffee beans. However, don't bring it out to thaw, because then the moisture content will also make your beans go stale. So grind it while it's still frozen and brew it while it's still frozen.
Great tip. Thank you. Someone is asking about how it's best stored when it's freshly ground, assuming you don't have the opportunity to grind it yourself at home. Should you put it in the freezer?
Pre-ground coffee, yeah, you still can do the same rules apply. I would definitely look into investing in a hand grinder, though. It doesn't have to be the best quality. As long as you are grinding coffee fresh, then it will just prolong your shelf life.
Okay. John would like to know, is there much of a difference in the coffee that you drink between a good quality home espresso machine and a commercial one that costs five or six times the price? I think John wants to make as good a coffee as he can, but he's not sure whether it's worth the added investment.
Yeah. Well, if you look at just cafe sustainability from a viewpoint, food cost should be, for a business to run successfully, it should be around 20-25%. So if you are saying that you're trying to produce a coffee at around $1.50, that would probably be the same spend as the cafe producing it. So yes, you definitely can produce the same quality at home as long as you're buying the right beans and you're doing a little bit of research and learning and improving in your techniques to maintain that quality extraction as well.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you there is at a certain point, an espresso machine will do the trick for you, whether it's a $1,000 machine or a $5,000 machine. That at that point, it comes down to the sorts of beans that you're buying.
Bean quality is probably the biggest variable that you should be looking at and considering. Depending on the price of the quality of the coffee machine, it kind of improves kind of your consistency cup after cup, or creating volumes on a consistent level as well. So I'm not saying like go buy like a $50 coffee machine and it'll be better than a $5,000 one, but obviously there's lots of other things to consider before you talk about quality of a cup.
What is your view on the taste of Nespresso?
I work with multiple brands, so I will. Nespresso, I'd like to say that every style and every type of coffee in the world has its purpose. Nespresso is definitely convenient for a lot of people, but what Nespresso has done is that it's made capsules popular. And it's allowed other brands to create more sustainable ways and, I guess, improving certain qualities in capsule formats that can be used in those machines as well.
Okay. So good for when you need it, and good for improving innovation. Out of interest, how many capsules would you use of an espresso-style machine to make the same strength espresso as you would get from a cafe?
When I did some research and kind of opened up a capsule and weighed the amount of coffee in there, it's about 20% or 30% of the amount of coffee that you would actually use in a cafe, a New Zealand style cafe espresso double shot. So they're definitely using a lot less coffee.
Okay. So you'd at least do a double if you wanted it to taste a bit like a cafe in terms of strength.
Yeah, so New Zealand, out of most countries that I've worked in and lived in, we definitely use probably the most amount of coffee with our espresso-based coffees. We like our coffees really strong and really syrupy, really dense, because the majority of our consumers are drinking milk-based coffees as opposed to other countries that I've lived in.
Yes, tell me about that. That's a real New Zealand thing, is it? Coffee with milk.
Yeah.
That's the flat white.
Yeah, and I think like you'd probably hear this quite a lot, is that New Zealanders drink, or they'll say New Zealand makes the best coffees. And the people who usually say that are milk-based drinkers. So we are essentially extracting really highly concentrated shots of espresso that don't really allow us to open up the flavor spectrum of a fully extracted coffee, and which is a big reason why we don't see a lot of light roasted coffees in New Zealand as well. Majority we're going medium, medium, dark, because we prefer coffees with milk as an average. If you go into mega specialty focused coffee shops, or in cities that have really highly specialty focused coffee shops, they roast coffee beans that are relatively lighter to promote a larger extraction, so then we get all the subtleties that we should be getting out of expensive or high-grade coffees as well.
And you're involved with an industry body called the New Zealand Specialty Coffee Association. What is specialty coffee?
Specialty coffee is a grading system that is set up from SCA, which is the Specialty Coffee Association in the world. It's a non-profit organisation, and they have world standards called CQI, so called Coffee Quality Institution. They set up kind of programs that rate coffee. So if you go to a farm, and let's say we go to Brazil, and a farm wants to know what their value of their product is based on quality, then people with Q grading certifications will then judge and rate those coffees to give it a determined value. So I would say it's similar to most agricultural kind of industries, where if you go to a winery, etc., and it's blind tasted and objectified in its scoring, then it is deemed worth a certain quality. So in specialty coffee, if your coffee's scored over 80 out of 100 out of 10 different categories, then your coffee is considered specialty grade.
Someone on text says that they think drip coffee is delicious, and they want to know why it hasn't caught on in New Zealand.
Drip coffee has come a long way. So when it first came out, we understand it from the American style drip coffee, and the quality and the understanding of roasting back then wasn't very studied much or regulated. So now, because of the boom in specialty coffee, and we are buying better coffee, we're roasting it lighter and brewing it with large amounts of water, which allows us to have a full expression of the we say terroir of the coffee beans. And terroir is basically derived from the wine industry of understanding how growing conditions and climates will affect the flavour of that coffee.
So there's no point in me asking you what your favourite country is to get coffee from, because I suspect you're going to tell me it depends what you're in the mood for. Everyone is different. It's not about better or worse.
Absolutely.
Yeah. tell me some favourite regions and what makes them distinctive.
I would say if you are getting into drip coffee, the coffee that people will mostly fall in love with first would be Ethiopian coffee. Mm. It's the birthplace of coffee. And most coffee there is considered heirloom varietals because we don't actually know what they are. Because Ethiopia is... most co-ops are made with thousands of what we call gardens. So it's a whole bunch of different varietals that are interbred with each other. So mm-hmm. we don't really know what they are. But Ethiopia tends to produce really floral, delicate coffees. And because it's so different to what we understand as coffee flavor, which is that harsh, we like it strong and bitter.
Yeah.
So that type of flavor profile is not really found in Ethiopian coffee if it is roasted correctly and brewed correctly as well. So it's delicate and open, and people who are getting into drip coffee will then go, oh wow, this is like a different gateway into coffee and understanding that there's...
And maybe a good chance for us to talk to about the difference between espresso coffee, which is probably what I guess we call them posh coffee drinkers in New Zealand would think of as the pinnacle of coffee, right? Paying $4 or $5 for a flat white or a long black at your local cafe. But there's also this idea of this drip coffee, which is a bit of a softer process, right? And you do lose something from pumping coffee through an espresso machine.
Yeah, absolutely. So for an average espresso in New Zealand is about 20 grams of ground coffee, and we will pull an espresso shot of about 30 grams of yield. So that's kind of the base of an espresso. That so it requires immense amount of pressure and high temperatures to extract these out of coffee. That the average for that shot is designed for milk-based coffees.
Mm-hmm.
The drip coffee is about 15 grams to 250 grams of water. So the amount of dilution is significantly more. And in order for that to taste good, you need coffee beans that are roasted generally medium or light to allow us to have that full extraction and that full expression of flavor.
Great. And so somebody who is listening, who is like open-minded, okay, I'm going to try the specialty coffee thing. So step one might be to try something other than espresso coffee. Go to a decent cafe and get something on. What would you ask for? Batch brew or something like that?
Yeah, ask if they've got filter or if they... A lot of cafes now will also have second options for espresso as well. So if you see a cafe with multiple grinders, chances are they've got different coffees in them.
Mm.
So then you can ask if you could try a different blend or single origin, meaning coffee from one particular place. And that is another good way to explore and experiment different coffees.
And that would generally be without milk, right?
Yeah.
And you could taste it in the same way as you might taste a wine?
Absolutely. The only difference is that coffee is brewed hot. And with good quality specialty coffee, you can appreciate different flavors as it cools down. So if you try coffee hot, warm, and cold, generally they will have transformative flavors if we're talking about really, really expensive and delicious coffees as well.
Steve says that he only drinks short blacks or maybe macchiatos at a push of piccolo, but he says, in his opinion, any more than that, you're just drinking hot milk.
Each to their own.
Okay. How much money should you be prepared to pay for a cup of coffee, Sam?
Honestly, the coffee prices are too cheap. And I think speaking with a bunch of different cafe owners and business owners, they are struggling. Coffee itself is, if you rely on that as your business, it just is unsustainable. If you look at the price of a coffee, which is averaging $4.50 to $5, if you look at coffee prices 10 years ago, it was around $4.
Mm.
So in the last 10 years, wages have almost doubled. Rent, power, everything has gone up, and coffee prices haven't gone up much. So in order for them to make it sustainable is pump large amounts of volume with very low profit margins, or use other methods of income, which is food predominantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I think most people listening would be shocked if they were asked to pay $5 or more for a coffee, but I see what you're saying. And I guess it might be interesting, again, to think of wine, where you probably wouldn't think too much about paying certainly $10, maybe $15, $20 in a fancy restaurant for a glass of wine. And so maybe if you start thinking along those lines, valuing beans that have come halfway around the world, being prepared by someone who knows what they're doing, then maybe you can get your head around maybe drinking less coffee but spending more money on it.
Yeah, and there's different grades, right? You can buy really cheap wine. You can also buy really expensive wine as well. So I think it's the same thing in coffee. But because of, I guess, the confusion in marketing, it's hard for consumers to identify which is better quality and which one isn't. So there is a lot of confusion. But if you are willing to pay more and are willing to spend like $8 for a filter coffee that is brewed by an expert who's dedicated many, many years and sometimes decades to perfecting it, I think that's a bargain.
What are some intelligent questions to ask when you're buying beans?
At a roastery?
Yeah, well, wherever. Where should you buy your beans, first question?
Well, you should buy coffee beans from roasteries, whether... ideally directly or from their website, then you will know that the coffee beans are roasted fresh. Then other questions is if this is this year's crop or are they fresh crop coffees? Because we have to think of it from an agricultural product viewpoint. And other questions are depending on how you're brewing it, the type of roast that you'd want as well. Again, different roasteries will cater towards different taste palates as well. The New Zealand Specialty Coffee Association has a good list of members in the association as well, so that's a good place to look. Most of your well-known coffee roasteries are on that list, so you're pretty safe with that.
How did you get so interested and knowledgeable about coffee?
Good question. I've spent about 12 years in coffee, and I think when I dabbled in hospitality. I did a food and beverage apprenticeship at Sky City when I was straight out of high school. So when I was 17, I spent 3 years just working in all parts of hospitality. I've also entered junior coffee and also cooking competitions as well. And coffee was always that product that I didn't know much about. Mm-hmm. So I'd always just see a bag of beans arrive and we'll throw that into a hopper. And just always wanted to know further. So I took a job as a junior barista at Atomic, and they were really encouraging. And then they kind of got me started and they entered me in competitions. And that kind of competitive bug got in me. And when you enter competitions, it's like, well, I need to learn a lot because I don't want to jump into a situation where I don't know anything. I got to represent New Zealand on the world stage as a barista champion and a latte art champion and met a whole bunch of people.
How hard is latte art?
Incredibly difficult. Yeah. The New Zealand Latte Art Championships is coming up soon.
Great.
So if you're into that. And there's a whole bunch of like latte art throwdowns that happen around the city as well. So it's a great little community and... it's difficult because you can't actually apply that skill set to any other thing in the world. It's very particular. It's like holding a milk pitcher and you're pouring hot foam onto a surface of an espresso shot. Like, you can't really apply that to anything else.
No.
Yeah, but it does teach baristas about perseverance, dedication, and practice. And baristas that are dedicated to that will generally show you that they are willing to put in the work as well.
So many questions. What's the best milk to use in a coffee? Anything? Just normal blue top?
A lot of people are lactose intolerant now, but I think full-fat milk has always been like the most preferred way of using milk, and also kind of it's mostly used in roasteries for quality control purposes as well. So
okay.
When they create blends, they generally will test it out on with full milk.
Have you tried oat milk coffees?
I've tried all of them.
They seem pretty popular at the moment. What do you make of them?
I think it definitely caters towards certain palates. Is that quite a diplomatic response?
Yeah. If you had to choose a milk that wasn't dairy milk, what would you go for in your milky coffee?
I think at the moment, oat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite creamy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to have you in. Thanks so much for doing it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you to everyone who sent text messages, who have sent text messages in. Ant says your Instagram account is one of his favourites, so that's a nice little accolade from him. And I really enjoyed this message that came through. Let me see if I can find it. If all of the hospitality staff in New Zealand were as good as Sam Lowe, there wouldn't be a labour crisis. There you go. That's a nice compliment for you. Sam Lowe, talking coffee for our Monday expert segment.